Greetings to each one. Good to be here again this morning. As Jerry said, it's not as full. I'm glad for each one that is here. Pray a blessing on those that are not able to be here for whatever reason. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you just now. We thank you for the opportunity of coming into your house and hearing your word shared, and just pray that you would break the bread of life to us as we just got done singing. Break it to us, each one individually. You know the needs of our hearts better than we do. So, Lord, we look to you. Our expectation is in you. So, Lord, I just pray your blessing on your people, upon your word, upon your servant, as I share this morning. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. For a message this morning, I would like to do another message in series of what the last two messages have been. I don't know if any of you remember. One on spiritual gifts, and then another one on walking in the Spirit. And that message, we did not directly go to the fruits of the Spirit. So this morning, that is where I would like to go. But to start with, you can turn to John 15. I'm going to have that as an opening. There's the title, Bearing Fruit, ? It's a question. The question is, and the challenge that I had as I prepared for this is, am I bearing fruit? John 15. We all know what this passage is, what it talks about. So, what I have to share this morning is not something new. It's just to bring things to our remembrance. So, John 15, we're thinking about bearing fruit. I am the vine, my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Let's think about fruit. Fruit is the focus this morning. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I think I'll just talk a little bit about it as we read through here. You are clean through the word. And that one has reference to the purging, the pruning. You're clean. You are already pruned because of what I have been sharing with you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So there is no fruit without being in the vine. Within Christ. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth a little fruit. Is that what it says? What words there? Much. We bring forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And the Father hath loved me, so as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. I guess I'll just keep reading here. These things I have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Back up to verse 16 again. I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. You can be a part of me, but I'm expecting something to happen. When we tap into that vine, there will be fruit. I guess that that really stood out to me as I was preparing. There will be fruit. We are in the vine. There will be fruit. We are familiar with Psalm 1. I think we'll turn there for the next passage. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, this is what he is like. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Once again, it stood out to me. And he shall be like a tree, and he will bring forth fruit. I don't know if I ever saw that quite as strongly as I did this time. Bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's some life flowing into that branch. There's going to be vitality there. There's going to be withered. I know what withered plants look like when they don't get enough water. Here is a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. He's tapping into something that is it's vitality. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. There's no life there. That chaff just is gone. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God knoweth the way of the righteous. There is a familiarity there between us and God. He knoweth the way of the righteous. And like I said, he shall be a tree that's going to give fruit. Let's turn to Luke. Luke 8. Here we have the parable of the sower. Sower went out to sow seed. And then the disciples ask, "What do you mean by this parable?" And let's look at verse 14 and 15. "That which fell among thorns are they which, when they had heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring forth no fruit to perfection." Maybe they started, but never brought it so that they could be harvested. "But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." Patience, that steady endurance. But they did bring forth fruit. Another one to bring to mind is the fig tree. What did Jesus... I think there might be two different passages, but when the fig tree did not have fruit, what did he say? The husbandman. What? I might be getting the two things mixed up a little bit, but the one passage, it would dig around it. Dig around it. Give it one more year. And if there's fruit, fine. If not, we're going to get rid of it. I guess that is a sobering thing to think about. No fruit, death. Going to be cut off and gotten rid of. So we are to be filled with fruit. Philippians 1. Starting at verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. I guess I won't say a whole lot on that, but filled with fruit. That's the challenge. Filled with the fruits of righteousness. What is fruit, anyhow? Just ask the question. What is fruit? Fruit is something that naturally occurs on a tree or vine that is actively growing, right? We expect to have fruit. So it is that which originates or comes from something, an effect or a result. So fruit in our lives is an effect or a result of being in connection with God. We are ordained to bring forth fruit. Let's turn to Ephesians 5. In this passage, chapter 4, chapter 5, it's talking, there's a comparison between darkness and light, sin and the fruits of righteousness. Chapter 5, first verse says, "Be ye followers of God as dear children, And the word followers there is we're to be imitators. We're to be imitators of God as their children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And then it has a list here of what we do not want to have in our lives. Just skim down to verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, with all these sins. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Darkness. Darkness is equal to that list that we just skipped over here. You were sometimes dark. You were there, but now are ye light. So Christ has shined into our hearts. That is light. And it says we're to walk as children of light. Verse 9 is a parenthesis. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of the Spirit. That's where we're going. We're going to Galatians where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. But here, the interesting thing is most of the other versions say the fruit of light is the way it's written. The fruit of the light shining in our lives is goodness and righteousness and truth. Fruit of the Spirit and fruit of light shining in us. And then it goes on, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Have no fellowship with those things that don't have any of those fruits. If it don't have those fruits, stay away from it. But rather reprove them. For it's a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So, the unfruitful works of darkness, we don't want no parts of it. Reprove them. But the fruit of light is in goodness and righteousness and truth. Okay, let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, very familiar verses, but I think it's good for us to take a little bit of time and not just skim over, but let's do a little bit of digging into it. The fruit of the Spirit, God's expecting it, and if we don't have it, there's something wrong. And maybe I'll just pop a question now. Is it possible to have artificial fruit? We might talk about that a little later. But fruit of the Spirit. Another question that I had, I don't know if I'm here to explain all that, but I had some thoughts. Why does this land here in Galatians? Why does the fruit of the Spirit mentioned here when he's in the midst of speaking to the Galatians about whether they would be into circumcision or not? I believe they had some wranglings or some struggles in relationships within their group. And he's saying, brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Liberty there, I believe, was liberty from the moral law, the Moses law. What is that called? The Levitical law, I believe, is what he was talking about. You've been called to liberty. We're not going to be lifting up the circumcision, but you are called to liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. In other words, I believe they were button heads. So, the fruit of the Spirit. Do we have anything in there that looks like butting of heads? Think about the attitude, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So I think what we're going to do is look at these fruits and look at each one and give a definition to them. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is not warm feelings, but a deliberate attitude of goodwill and devotion to others. Not just a feeling, not just an emotion, as we heard about this morning. Love gives freely without looking to if the other person deserves it, and gives without expecting anything in return. Deliberate attitude of goodwill and devotion to others. 2nd one is joy. Joy is gladness independent of good or bad circumstances. Not based on what's happening to us. It denotes supernatural gladness, which actually shows up best in hard times. If we have a deep, settled joy in our hearts, it's when we are in trouble that this shows up the most clearly. A product of fixing our focus on God's purposes. Joy is a product of fixing our focus on God's purposes for our lives, not just what is happening, but what does He want to accomplish in our lives. The next one is peace. Peace is not the absence of turmoil, but presence of tranquility even while in chaos. That sounds a little bit like something that goes beyond our natural abilities. Peace is a sense of wholeness and completeness. That is content, knowing that God is in control. When we are in that place of saying, yes, God, you are in control, there is peace in our hearts. The next one is patience. And other versions would call it long-suffering. Long-suffering, suffering long. Forbearance, perseverance, and steadfastness. It's the ability to endure ill treatment without lashing out or paying back. Forbearing, to put up with something that's not quite the way we would like to have it. Forbearing. The next one is kindness, which is gentleness. Kindness, which is gentleness. It looks for ways to adapt to meet the needs of others. It is moral goodness that overflows. And it is shown by our speech and actions. That will come through, yes, our speech, our actions, our whole disposition, put it that way. Gentleness. Then we have goodness. Faith, yeah, faith is the next one. Goodness reflects the character of God. It wants to see good in others, even giving the right kind of correction where needed. We're not so good that we don't want to give correction. But we have goodness. We want to see good in others. The next one is faith. Faith here, we're going to look at it as faithfulness. Faithfulness. A person with real integrity is a faithful person. Others can look to them for an example of devotion to Christ and to others. Faithfulness. A person that is faithful seeks good for others and for the glory of God. It's not for their own glory. And then the next one is meekness or gentleness. And we say meekness is not weakness. It's not without power. It just defers to others. It's not a selfish thing. Meekness, it's humility. A person, one of the traits of meekness is forgiveness. Forgives others. When it corrects, it does it with kindness. So the question is, am I headstrong or am I meek or gentle? Temperance. Temperance is self-control. Temperance keeps the fleshly desires. Now, the fleshly desires are at odds with God's Spirit. And wants to be in charge. That the flesh and the spirit, the struggle of the flesh and the spirit shows up on this one. Self-control is releasing our grip on our fleshly desires, choosing the control of the Holy Spirit instead. Temperance, self-control. Okay, there was a poem. A poem, or was it a plaque on the wall? About love. Love being the key here in these. Love is the key. Joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. Long-suffering is love enduring. Kindness is love's touch. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is self-forgetfulness. Self-control is holding the reins. So we have love. Love is the key. Now, what I'd like to do next is go to 1 Corinthians 13. Notice some things there. We all know what that chapter is, 1 Corinthians 13. We have a list here that describes charity. Charity, which is love. Starting in verse 4. Now, maybe this is a time for some more interaction here. I will read what charity is, and you tell me what fruit of the Spirit fits with it. Charity suffereth long. Long-suffering. And is kind.
Gentleness.
Charity envieth not. Some of these are a little harder than others. Go ahead.
Meekness.
Another one that could go with it is self-control, temperance. Envies not. Charity vaunteth not itself.
Meekness.
Is not puffed up. Same one there. Does not behave itself unseemly.
Temperance.
Goodness is another one that fits. Seeketh not her own.
Long-suffering.
There's another one. Goodness. Love. Love itself. He loves others. Seeketh not himself. Not easily provoked.
Long-suffering.
Gentleness. There's another one. What's the opposite of being provoked?
Joy.
Joyful. Thinketh no evil.
Faithfulness.
Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but he rejoiceth in the truth.
Joy.
Beareth all things. Long-suffering. Hopeth all things.
Faith?
Yes, I believe that's a good one. Endureth all things. And peace is another one I think fits there. Charity never faileth.
All of them.
Right. So I thought it was interesting to see how that those both passages just fit right together. Fruit of the Spirit. Love. We have love. If we're in connection with God, it's just going to be flowing out. Now, here's another one while we're thinking about all these different things. Is it fruit or is it fruits? Plural. Singular or plural?
Singular.
Fruit. It's singular. Can I say, oh, I have this one, but I don't have the other one? Or, I don't know, if we may excel in some, but I like the picture of a cluster of grapes, fruit. You get the fruit of the Spirit, you get the cluster. You don't just get love or joy or peace or... Let's think about it as a cluster. Let's go back here to Galatians. Now, here's another exercise I'd like to do. We're going to look at the fruits of the Spirit, and we say Jesus is our example. Okay? Fruit of the Spirit is love. What did Jesus do to show his love? He gave his life. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That is love. Joy. What do you think of when you think of joy? Thinking of Jesus. Who for the joy that was set before him? What did he do? Endured the cross, despising the shame, set down at the right hand of the Father. He had joy. He revealed these things to babes. There's some verses we could turn to, but I think you're getting the... Okay, the next one is peace. Jesus. What he calmed the sea. What did Isaiah say? Have to say about Jesus? Prince of Peace. I'm come that you might have peace. I think is another verse. Long suffering. Did he suffer long? When did he suffer? Reviled not again. The most beautiful part of the long suffering of Christ was on the cross. He suffered for all the world, even unto death. What about gentleness or kindness? Jesus. Suffer the little children to come unto me. I see you're all thinking. What about the high priest's servant's ear when that was cut off? What did he do? He put it back on again, right? Was that kindness? And there's others as well, but that's one that I thought of. Goodness. Jesus, was he a good person? Yes. Jesus is a good shepherd. He cares for his sheep. How about faith? Faith being his faith in God and his faithfulness in continuing on. Two different ways you can look at it. I do only those things that please my Father. He had a connection with his Father. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Was he faithful? He was. Okay, gentleness or meekness. What's a Bible verse that comes to my mind? For I am meek and lowly in heart. Come unto me, all you that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Meekness. Temperance. Self-control. Temptation in the wilderness. He accepted his calling of death. He did not call for angels to take him. There was self-control in the garden when they came to take him. And that's when he used that expression, right? He restrained the disciples. Yes. We have some time yet. And I guess I would like to go through this list again and think of Bible characters that these qualities stood out in. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Who do you think of when you think of a Bible character? Of course, I had time to think about it, so I got a few written down.
John?
Yes. Beloved disciple. Good. I had to think of Abraham and Lot, how that he interceded for him. Would you save Sodom and Gomorrah if there was 50 and he kept bringing that number down? So Abraham had a heart for his nephew Lot. Jonathan and David. Jonathan loved David. They had a close relationship.
I'm reading through the book of Hosea right now. And Hosea loved his wife who was
yes. Hosea. Even though she was a harlot. Ruth is another one that I had to think of. Even, yes, coming back. Was it Orpha? What was the name of the one that went back to her people? But Ruth said, I am going to follow you. Okay, joy. Who do you think of when you think of joy? Okay, when the ark came back, David. Walking in truth, children, yep. Children walking in truth.
Paul and Silas singing in prison.
There you go. At midnight, with the chains hanging on. Joy. Okay, that's a challenge. Okay. Asaph in the Psalms. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Peace. Who was it that was about out to make peace?
Isaac.
And that was the case, the what I have written down here, Isaac, and when he came and took his wells, he made peace. They went and dug wells until they were left in peace.
Joseph.
There was peace there as well.
Solomon
made peace. With the two ladies ready to consume the little one. And of course we had Jesus saying, peace I leave with you.
Daniel's friends felt peace. They're going to get thrown into the lions, or into the fiery furnace, that God would be with them.
Right. Daniel's three friends. What about long-suffering or patience?
Moses?
Noah had patience. He built the ark.
Job.
What I had to think of was King David, before he was king. He had patience. He knew he was the upcoming king, but he had patience to be sought after by Saul. He didn't take Saul's life when he could have. Okay, gentleness or kindness. Okay, Mephibosheth. That was David's. David showed it to Mephibosheth.
Joseph to his brothers.
Joseph to his brothers. Paul to the church said, I will relate to you as a nurse to her children.
Good Samaritan.
Good Samaritan. Okay, goodness. There was a sister, a woman in Acts. Dorcas had acts of full of, yeah. I don't know if that's the one that says full of good works. I think it does. Let's go on to the next one. Faithful. Faith or faithful. Abraham.
Paul says that James and Peter were like pillars.
Okay. The men that were pillars. Was there somebody else?
Well, I was also thinking of Peter and that following Christ also.
Peter. When you think of Peter, we think of him being like a rock. Little boy, King Josiah, was faithful. Meekness. Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. I think it says somewhere. Somebody say something over here. What about temperance? Self-control?
Paul.
Paul?
I always keep my body under subjection. I don't let tell me what to do.
Right.
Daniel and his friends would not be the king.
Right. That's the one I was thinking of.
Joseph.
Self-control.
When he had an opportunity to kill Saul.
Right. David, when he could have killed Saul. Self-control.
The Rechabites.
Rechabites. They had self-control. They were faithful. That's another one that would fit them. Okay. Love is the key, right? The challenge or the question is, are we bearing fruit or not? I guess where I did not go that I talked about going was, is it possible to have artificial fruit? And I guess I don't know if I need to go down through the whole list, but the challenge is that I got from looking at this is it coming from my heart, or is it something that's on the surface? We can love from our hearts, or maybe that's asking too much. Maybe if I just accept a person, is that enough? Or is that a fruit of the, which one is a fruit of the Spirit? The one that is from the heart. I'll just give a couple of them here that I think show the picture. Let's do joy. Joy is something that is deep from the heart. Happiness. We might be happy when we're joyful, but is happiness, does that replace joy, or is that the fruit of the Spirit? Do you follow the picture? Peace. God calls us to peace. A peace that passes understanding. Or I can be controlled. I can be controlled on the surface, but am I at peace? So, you get the picture. The challenge that I got from it was, is it at a heart level? Not just, I know that this is what it ought to be, and this is what I'm going to do to make it look like I have it. No, it's coming from another source, not from myself. Right. The Pharisees gave that. That was not coming from God's work in their hearts. James 3. I think we'll use that as a closing verse. This is a passage on the tongue, and the end of the chapter 3 speaks of the wisdom. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. So maybe this is a little bit of what I was just talking about, artificial. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But when we're in connection with God, the wisdom that comes from above, and look at this list again, is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Fruit of righteousness, sown in peace of them that make peace. Fruit bearing or not? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you. At the end of this message, I want to say thank you for speaking to our hearts, speaking to my heart. I just pray that as we look at the fruit of our lives, that we could say, yes, this comes from you. And it is what it ought to be, not just something on the surface, but something that comes from being connected with you and flowing out of my life. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.